This is Dave Gloetz. I'm here with Ben Jarofsky of the Chicago Reader to talk about his column that appeared in the Reader on May 28th, 2009, which has the title, University Village, The Story's Not Finished. You ready to throw it down, Ben?
Yes, sir. Throw it down.
This article details real estate development in a tax increment financing district along Halsted between Roosevelt Road and 16th Street. And this area is called University Village, and it comprises roughly 17 square blocks. Ben, you and the Sun-Times both have reported that 95% of the property taxes of the residents in this area
approximately
go to the tax increment financing district. The question that arises for me is why?
The amount that the area was generating in tax dollars is frozen when the TIF is created. So, this is the best way to do it. If the area was generating $10 in property taxes when the TIF district was created, that's all those taxing bodies will receive for the next 23 or 24 years, for however long it's alive. All new tax dollars above and beyond that line go to the TIF. So in this case, approximately 95% of the tax bill that people pay goes to the TIF.
Because that's the increase?
That's the amount extra above and beyond what the area was paying in taxes when the TIF was
created.
So
what we're talking about is a huge increase in property taxes.
I've done this story several times before. I feel compelled to do it. I should do it more often than I do because I think this may be an aspect that would rouse the citizenry from its slumber, although, again, shouldn't underestimate the depths of slumber. But if you have a city-owned parking lot, which generates no property taxes, and you turn that parking lot into a TIF district, and then you put a skyscraper on there, and you fill that skyscraper with condos, and you sell those condos to people who pay property taxes so that it's now generating $1 million in property taxes. All $1 million goes to the TIF. None of it goes to the taxing bodies. And here's where I have to help my fellow citizen. Taxing bodies are municipal bodies, hence the name, that collect property taxes, that have the ability to tax you. The Chicago Park District, the Chicago Board of Education, the City of Chicago, the County of Cook. The scam, I don't know what else to call it, is that the county sends you a property tax bill that lies and deceives you. It tells you right down to the nickels and dimes where your property taxes are going, like $22.32 go to the Board of Ed, when in fact, that's not what the Board of Ed gets. The Board of Ed gets a fraction of that, and the TIF gets money. So this was my opportunity. When the Sun-Times broke that great, great story about the low-income housing scam over at University Village, I said, oh, here's an educational moment, a teaching moment, where I can once again explain how this works.
Does this seem like some kind of breakthrough on mainstream reporting of tax increment financing?
Yeah, I was really impressed with the story on many levels. You got to give a lot of credit to Tim Novak and Chris Fusco, the Sun-Times reporters who wrote it. I mean, they were very enterprising in how they uncovered the fact that housing that was supposed to go to moderate income or low income people was in fact going to the sons and daughters of relatively well-to-do, well-connected people. And then in some cases, they just immediately sold the property to God only knows who, so that housing that was built with a public subsidy in order to create affordable housing was in fact not creating affordable housing. Yet another collapse in the TIF program.
And it's interesting that they list some of the buyers of the so-called affordable units, and these buyers included employees of the city's transportation, police, and fire departments, employees of the Metropolitan Pier and Exposition Authority, a couple sisters with mob connections, and the son of the realtor selling the unit.
Yeah, it was a total scam. But to finish your last point, where I really thought that Novak and Fusco went beyond what normally is done, they actually linked the scam to the TIF program and then made an attempt to explain to people how TIFs divert property taxes from schools and parks into TIF funds. Obviously, they couldn't go into as great detail as I did because they had a limited amount of space, and the main purpose of their story was to expose the scam. But I really give them credit for even linking the TIF to their one of my big problems with past exposés, both in the Sun-Times and the Tribune, exposés that uncovered dirty dealings with TIF program, is that there was a conscious effort, it seems to me, on the part of the papers not to mention the TIFs. And it has been explained to me by reporters who work for those papers that the editors who run the papers think the public's too stupid to understand the TIP program. I think it's just the editors who don't understand.
It's almost like they were following your lead in how they reported this.
And
it was very interesting.
Yes, it was interesting. A contrast, one of the newspapers, I think it was the Tribune, exposed a deal on the Northwest side where money that was supposed to go for industrial development went, in fact, went to a shopping center. And the hook that they latched onto was that Congressman Luis Gutierrez had used his clout with the Daley administration to get the deal through. All of that was a TIF-funded program. So there was a perfect moment for them to explain how this slush fund has no oversight. But again, they just didn't even mention. I think they mentioned it in passing. So they blew it there. I think that was the Tribune.
Maybe the Sun-Times has broken the dam on this one.
Yeah, the Sun-Times, is, in my opinion, is better than the Tribune when it comes to TIF coverage. The Tribune has been very weak at TIF coverage consistently from the get-go. Their editorial board has occasionally written about TIF abuse, and then they always feel compelled to. I always love this when they do this. They go, you know, the TIF's been a wildly successful program. I'm like, where? You know, I understand the impulse to, quote-unquote, be fair, but at least if you're trying to be fair, be accurate. Okay, if you're going to say it was a wildly successful program, cite the case where it was wildly successful. I don't think the TIFs have been wildly successful. I think across the board, they've pretty much been disasters. There may have been, as I've said before, a deal here and a deal there that have worked. But when you take the overall program, it should be scrapped. Anyway, I went on a tangent there, as I tend to do when we discuss TIFs.
We like that. Some of our listeners who don't own property in Chicago might wonder how this affects them.
This is a classic question I used to get from the reader editors all the time when I first started delving into this, because the TIF taxes that are collected and diverted are property taxes. And so if you don't own property, you don't literally pay the property tax. You're not directly paying it, I should say. You've never seen a property tax bill. You have no clue how this whole apparatus works. You're blissfully ignorant. I would say you should keep in mind this one thing. The property tax is almost inevitably passed on to renters through higher rents. If your landlord gets a rise in his or her property taxes, he hikes your rent accordingly. And if you're a commercial leaseholder, if you're a merchant, even if you don't own your home, but you're paying rent on your commercial property, in most cases, the property tax is directly linked to your rent. And as soon as it goes up, your lease requires that you pay higher rent. So whether you realize it or not, you too pay higher property taxes when the TIFs raise the tax.
So nobody is immune.
Nobody escapes this demon.
I think we'll leave it there. Ben Jarofsky of the Chicago Reader, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks, Dave.
This is Dave Gloetz. We've been speaking about the rest of the story. When you have a chance, check back at MrRadio.org for further installments or subscribe to our podcast. Thanks for listening.